Welcome to the Corey and Kai Podcast, presented by Cedar Run Decoy Company. Built on honoring traditions and focused on conservation. You can find us at cedarrundecoys.com, Facebook, and Instagram. Be sure to rate us and subscribe to the Corey and Kai Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or any other podcast platform you listen through. So how you doing, boys?
Good, man. Long day.
It's been a great day, though.
Yeah, but you guys jam way too much into one day.
No, how?
I just keep saying that.
We don't, though.
It's all our doing.
It is all of our doing, and I don't think there's one thing that we would have taken out and regretted it.
No. No, you know? Just makes for a long day. We're sitting at 9:30 at night. We got this party started at, 7 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, after 3 hours of sleep.
Yep. We got out into the grouse woods, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, 8 on the dot.
But can you ever it's September, late September, Michigan, this is what you live for.
Yeah,
this
don't sleep till January, right?
The best season period of the year.
Yeah.
In one of the prettiest places in the country, northern Michigan, leaves are starting to turn. The forest has that smell to it. You guys, this morning, it was like that smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time did you get on the river?
We got on the river this morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock, chasing king salmon all day.
So you're seeing that mist coming off the water.
Oh, yeah. Just like the smell. And it just.
There's something. It's like the cedars, I don't know if that's what I'm smelling, but I'm assuming it is like the cedar tree.
Yeah, I think it's the cedars and the bogginess of rivers of sand that we have here in northern Michigan.
It's the best. Can't beat it because I wouldn't be able to do this if it was mid-June
July
and we're going to the beach all day.
It's miserable too when it's hot and you're hunting. Uh-huh. I just can't. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah. And luckily we had the best weather possible. I mean, it's 48 degrees in the morning and 71 today.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're up here for the grouse opener, and then Adam, you were out drift fishing for salmon.
Yep, floated.
So you covered a good portion of what we'll call up north.
Yeah,
any
west side, east side,
right. Yeah, you've kind of covered a lot of ground in a short period of time.
Yeah, because you left your house at 6:30? Is that what you said?
Yeah, left at 6:30.
So down in Kalamazoo area, and then you drove up to Baldwin area. Yeah.
Floated 37 to Green Cottage.
That's a good float.
What's the length
of float? It's 1 hour by canoe river time.
Okay.
It usually takes 4 hours, maybe 3 to 4 hours in a drift boat. Depends on how hard you're pushing. We floated 15% of the float time. And there was a hole that had 100 fish just stacked.
I'd love to see that.
And so it's just you're stuck there and then you're it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we still have 3 hours of float time left. And we're going to see a whole bunch more fish that we have to stop and fish to. But
see, that's one of those situations where you're leaving a honey hole.
Mm-hmm. Because there's more
honey holes. Know there's more honey holes, which is that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to take yourself away from a honey hole.
It comes back to time, and that's why we're putting so much, so much into just a short period of time.
So then you got off the river at what time today?
5:30, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And then jumped in your car.
Texted you, Eric.
Yeah, it was 5:30.
We were packing up the boat, jumped in my car, buzzed to the other side of the state.
Which was 2.5 hours, right?
Yep.
Phew. Good thing you got
Google Subi on the scenic route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I listened to Corey on the way up.
Yeah.
Or else I would have been just wasn't a good day yesterday.
Why was that, Kai?
Well, chicken died and just before we had to leave and just lots of stuff. We didn't get here until 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then stayed up until 3. Got 3 hours of sleep. Shot some grouse and woodcock today, though.
Yeah.
That's good. It's real good. Got a wall mounter.
Yeah.
It's going in the cabin.
I can't complain.
No. I mean, it was probably better than I expected with the leaf cover we had.
Yeah, we had a lot of good opportunities, and Kai made the most of all of his. Mm-hmm.
What'd you end up going on the day? Like 3 for 6?
On shots?
Yeah.
At birds? It's 1 for 1.
Oh, you had 4 birds, didn't you?
3.
Oh, yeah.
We had 4 birds total. Yeah, I had 2 grouse and 1 woodcock. Yep. One. Yeah. I think I was like 6 for 3.
Yeah. 3 for 6, like I said.
6 for 3. 6 for 3. That sounds better. 3 for 6. Yeah.
Yeah. 200%.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that happens. 3 for 6.
Whatever. But yeah, no, it was a good day. Good day. Looking forward to tomorrow, too. So you added Adam.
There you go.
You know? Got the old Ithaca.
Oh, that gun has killed a lot of birds.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, when did you start grouse and woodcock hunting? Like, how long have you been doing?
Oh, man. I shot my first grouse when I was like 12. So, my grandma and grandpa used to live just north of Lapeer.
You want to get closer.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, my grandma and grandpa lived just north of Lapeer. And we had this tradition with my grandpa where, for Christmas every year, we would go out on like a Christmas rabbit hunt. We'd do the same thing for Thanksgiving. And all the guys would just like before dinner, we'd all go rabbit hunting. But my grandpa had this old orchard behind his house. It's like a high bank creek and then this old apple orchard. And there's a bunch of other fruit in there. And inevitably, there was always 3 or 4 grouse every single time that we went.
And that's relatively south.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like when you look at
the thumb area.
Yeah. Like when you look at where we're hunting now. And you're like, and I don't know if it's still good over there for grouse. It seems south. It seems like everything's
really flat, like farm field.
Yeah, yeah. Probably trying to find habitat would be tough. Even.
Yeah. I mean, it's all depleted now, you know, with the way that they farm. And
I feel like you'd find else, more roost like ringnecks.
Yeah. You used to have some of those too.
Yeah. But,
this one spot, there was just always going to be a grouse when you did this one push, and it was always, were you going to get a shot at him half the time? I think my first one, he flushed off the ground and landed in an apple tree like 100 yards away, and I snuck up on him and poached him on the apple.
Yes. How old are you?
Like 12.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. All day.
I mean, I'd do that all at day. 41.
Yeah. I mean, all day. Yeah, now it's a spot and stalk.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still some game in there.
I mean, you ever seen a rough grouse sitting up there on a branch, like fully alert that it just gotten flushed? Yeah. I mean, they're not easy to sneak up on. It was still like a pretty Hail Mary of a shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So you've been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah, 25 years. Probably my best time was, I was talking about this today with my brother. But he used to own an insulation company, and he got this job right when I was getting out of college. So I was like 21, and he got this job in Hessel, Cedarville area, insulating this huge house on one of those islands that's just north of Mackinac.
Yeah.
And so it was a private island, and we had to take his like insulation trailer. It was like spray foam, like out on a barge. And we had to take this like ferry, like a big pontoon boat with all the construction crew every morning. And so the ferry would leave the dock at 8 o'clock in the morning. But then all the construction guys that were building the house were living on Drubbin Island. That's where like the construction company was. So they had to clock in at Drubbin Island at 5 every day.
Oh my gosh.
So that meant that like we would leave the dock to go work at 8. Then we would get off. We'd get back to the dock at like 3:30 so that those guys had enough time to drive.
Oh, clock. Okay.
To drive to clock out. Mm. So it was the last week of September in the first 2 weeks of October, I think, is when we were up there. And so from 3 o'clock until dark, we had nothing to do.
Right.
And so there's a bunch of those little creeks that are running, and they all had salmon in them. So we would fish salmon.
But he had a really good chocolate lab that was a really good flushing dog. And I had my German short hair pointer, and we had both of our dogs up with us. And there was this spot just east of Cedarville area, some state land. And I kid you not, we got a limit of woodcock every day.
And usually, for 4 weeks?
What? For 3 weeks. Every single time we went hunting, we got a limit of woodcock.
That was 18 miles west of Chesil, right?
and we
just to reiterate,
yeah,
and maybe south of the bridge,
yeah,
35 miles.
Schoolcraft.
and at least three woodcock or three grouse every time we went out.
Wow,
it would sometimes you would like shut the door on the truck and like shoot a bird before. It was like that perfect time of year when all the woodcock had migrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like we're just starting.
They're staged up there.
They're staging, waiting to cross the lower peninsula. And that was just like, I mean, I haven't had any bird hunt that was ever that good.
Yeah.
So. You can't. I mean.
Right. So do you really even want to hunt tomorrow?
I do.
Are you like?
I do. I love it. But you just like, that's what, I mean, that's why we go, right? You never know when you're going to have one of those days.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's like, no way that we would have known that we pushed Corey's 6 acre piece and we shoot a wall hanger.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, we
5 minutes.
It's just so unpredictable. And I think that's what draws me into it too, is like a lot of these other species, you can really stack all the odds, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Like duck hunting, deer hunting, you can stack all the odds. But with grouse and woodcock hunting, it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
You're not decoying them in typically, although that might come down the road.
All right. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. But it's like it's more of a put in the time and hope that you're in the right habitat and your dog gets on a bird. And then flush, like it's way less predictable in my mind than other types of hunting. Mm-hmm. You know,
I would say it's one of the most challenging and pure forms of wing shooting out there.
Yeah,
because you're rewarded for the effort you put in.
Yeah,
it's usually. Like, yeah,
it's time, effort.
Well, it's like when we climbed up that hill today with all that deadfall. You know, there's no way. In my opinion, that there was going to be a bird in there, which there wasn't. But then we get to the top and the landscape changes, completely different. It's perfect grouse and woodcock habitat. We pushed that a couple times and ended up shooting that first grouse. And I think we pushed a couple more, didn't we?
You might have been one to one on
one other one there.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes you got to go through the junk to get to the treasure, because it's other people like don't want to. You know, like a lot of times those don't get hit because people are taking the
easy,
the two tracks and stuff, and they're not going to walk through the slash.
Discipline and consistency. It's like life.
I don't know. What I love about it is like here we are. It's like one of the most beautiful landscapes that we have in Michigan.
Yep.
Arguably the most beautiful time of the year, especially in this part of the state, right? You're usually with good buddies. You usually have decent weather, right? And you're going on a hike and watching awesome bird dogs work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I don't care if I see a bird. That's a great day.
Yeah.
Like, all those things are just like, that's a great day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're just like, all the birds are just icing, at that point on the cake.
I think what threw me most about this, because I didn't grow up hunting grouse and woodcock, is kind of the reverse level of success that's applied to this sport.
Yeah.
So in grouse hunting, you measure it by the number of birds you hear, number one.
Yep.
And then if you see them flush, that's number two. If you shoot at them, that would be number three. And then the ones you hit.
The ones in the bag.
Right. Yeah, you would never.
There's multi levels of success.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Which is different than what we generally say when we're duck hunting, right? When you're waterfowl hunting, you're like, well, I saw 10,000 birds.
But, yeah, didn't get a shot.
Like, that doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Yeah, because they could have been half a mile away.
Right. But with grouse hunting, if you're like, well, I flushed 15 birds, you're like, oh, that was a good morning. And you haven't even, like you said, you haven't even gotten to how many did you shoot? You know?
Zero. But they're not even gonna, they're not even gonna ask.
Thanks for answering for me.
Yeah. I thought it was like a hypothetical question. Yeah. And I just answered it.
Oh, for 15, thank you, Kai.
Zero. Yeah. No, it's it truly has become one of my favorite things to do in the fall. Just because, you know, having ADHD, and I've talked to everyone about this, but even duck hunting and deer hunting, you sit in either a blind or, you know, in the cattails, and there's still a really slow kind of just like silent, just waiting period where in my mind, it's like it's racing too much because it's silent. A lot of people take that as like,
yeah, that's a good time. You know, yeah, be as, quiet, right, listen right. to the woods, wake up.
And it's hard for me to do that. Whereas grouse hunting for me is I can't focus on anything but the present. And it's really, it's very like soothing.
That's similar in like the fishing, right? Like when you're fishing, yeah. you're concentrating on where you're putting that line, you know, you're concentrating on the response from the line, you know, the flow, like your mind's being so preoccupied that you can't think about like
anything
life.
Else. Right. Yeah. You have to be present.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, not being present, it wouldn't work because then you'd be like a 3-year-old trying to fish. You know, I mean, right. they're just doing whatever they want to do.
You're like, hey, there's a fish on your line.
Yeah. Oh, what? I want a snack. Yeah.
So how'd you do on the river? Like this morning?
We did great. We landed a couple, which most of the boats that we talked to, nobody had landed. I mean, I hooked probably at least 50 fish today.
50? 5-0?
Yep, 0 for 50. Kai, the math expert, 0 for 50.
Yeah, we're both like, at 0%
yeah,
today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We get
going back to what 200%. Eric said. No, this is the whole thing. It's like you still hooked 50 fish.
Yeah, you know.
Like, that's a success.
My favorite.
And they're kings, fresh out of the Lake Michigan.
But I was like, thinking about it today is like, I don't like landing king salmon. There's nothing fun about like a 10-minute battle. Like,
yeah.
The exciting part is like the first 20 seconds when you hook that fish and they come unglued and they jump over two log jams and like back over another log jam and head back to Lake Michigan 40 miles
just
an hour.
Pissed.
Like, that's the super fun part.
And then you're like retying your flies and you're just shaking from adrenaline.
And then you're like, okay, now I just got to slog through this, you know, battle to get them to the net. But yeah,
I hear you there. So I've heard people say that with tarpon because tarpon's like 8 hours or whatever. I mean,
no. I landed a tarpon in like 10 minutes.
Oh, well, you're Adam Kwiecinski.
He's so. One for one on tarpon.
Yeah.
I mean,
two for one on tarpon.
If you have a tarpon on for more than like 15 minutes, a hammerhead shark's going to eat it.
Dead.
Almost every time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, aren't those inshore, like real close to?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, have you ever been fighting a tarpon and had like an 8-foot hammerhead come up and start chasing it?
Those two things, I've never had either one of those things.
Yeah, I've never
seen a hammerhead and never caught a tarpon.
There's no part of me that wants to be in Florida in like July or whenever the tarpon, when is it?
February.
Terrible time to be in
March.
For some reason, I thought, what's the one? Wow. What's the one? There's like a fish run in Florida that's in the summer. That's really popular.
Oh, it's called the Marlin 5K.
I mean, the tarpon do like run up in schools on the out. They go offshore.
Yeah.
And like run up.
Maybe that's what I'm
maybe
thinking.
That's what it is.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
And then they have just another.
I'm deleting this part out of the
No
podcast.
Way. No, not.
Yep.
Can't delete. Happen.
Delete.
You can go ahead and delete the 0 for 15.
Kai, comment. Master producer. Delete every time he's wrong.
Is that what Biden did?
Oh, we're going there already.
Oh, yeah. We're only 20 minutes in. We got a long ways to go. Anyways.
But to your comment on the ADHD stuff, you know, as I get older, and Corey, I know you and I have talked about this in like the duck blind, but like, you know, I think when you're a young hunter, at least me personally, you know, you're drawn to those
those ego hunts, right? Mm-hmm. Like those big buck, you want to have the biggest buck on the wall, you want to have like those ego things, right? Like I had the biggest pile of mallards or like all of those ego driven things. And now like as I progress in, you know, age and
maturity, wisdom,
as I decay quicker.
I said we all flinched when the word maturity came up. We were all like, "Oh, you get a shiver."
I'm no, mature. But I just feel I feel more drawn now to like those pursuits where you get the camaraderie.
Absolutely,
like where you have the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. So, like the grouse woods, right? Like with your buddies, like walking with the dogs, and like what? Like that's a huge, you know.
Yeah, you can't. There's nothing like else that you can experience. I mean, sitting in a
snacks and drinks on a tailgate, you know,
right?
Good times
like this right now. Like if someone, we got to take a picture of this, you know, just the we'll post it.
Yeah.
How about that? It's just there's something about sitting around a table, having a cocktail with your buddies after a good day, and that's better than shooting anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You throw up a couple birds, you're 0 for 15.
Well, at
good
least
day.
It at least makes up for the day.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's how you feel when you've shot grouse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're the only one that shot grouse today, right? So you can say stuff like that.
Kai's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
It's the new shotgun.
Doesn't miss.
No, it doesn't miss.
So we
it's not the painter, it's the paintbrush. Right? Is that the way it goes? Anyways.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably the opposite in reality.
That's okay. I was being sarcastic. I'm very bad at being sarcastic.
Oh.
Anyway.
So who's sitting around the table?
Kai.
Hey. Kai.
Corey.
Corey. Adam.
Adam. People call me Opie.
Opie and Eric.
I want to know where Opie came from.
Oh, so
is that a good story or no?
It's pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have unusually large ears for my body. If you guys haven't noticed them, I'm sure you have already. But so I've always had like really big ears, but a good buddy of mine used to put on this big dove hunt down in South Texas, down by Uvalde every year.
Okay.
And he used to have a bunch of his like clients. He was a sales guy, and so he'd have all these clients come in, but most of them were like these huge redneck guys, and they're from all over the place. And so we all went down there, and they would finish a handle a crown like before lunch on the dove field.
Oh my
it was like
gosh.
That kind of a thing. And but they were just laughing and cracking jokes, and so I was like taking the dove hunt kind of seriously. So we were hunting this huge field and the doves kept on like flying over and then they'd land out in the middle. And it's like this 12 inch bean like growth. And so I was like, flight slowed down. I was like, I'm just going to go out and flush a bunch. And I went out there and killed like a whole bunch of them. And so they started throwing around nicknames when we were drinking later, sitting in the river. And they were like, oh, you're AWAC. You got that radar system on your head. And so, it was just like, everybody's three sheets to the wind at that point. And somebody yelled across and was like, hey, you know what? You know, I just hit me. He looks like kid Opie from the Andy Griffin Show. We're going to call you Opie. And so, then he came back and he hunted with me here with my hunting, my hunting buddies at the time. In Michigan. And so then the nickname stuck for a lot of years that I was Opie.
Opie.
So plus I have a real hard last name to say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's Kwiatkowski, right?
That's right.
It's a Kwia?
Mm-hmm. Kwia. Kwiatkowski.
Yeah. If you see it before you hear it, you won't be able to pronounce it.
He had to pronounce it for me.
It's just the C turns into an I in my mind, right?
The J, it turns into a Y.
Is this K-U, spell it for me.
Oh, yeah, throw all my, my social security and date of birth, too.
Oh, we'll post this on.
Yes, K-U-J-A-C-Z-N-S-K-I.
Yeah, so the J is an I.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all you got to do, right?
Yeah. You just take the bottom out, half off.
Yeah.
And if you ever run into anybody that's like really Polish, they'll tell you that I spell my name incorrectly.
Really? Mm-hmm. Mm. What's it supposed to be?
Like they want to have a Y in there someplace.
Hmm.
Like CZYNSKI or something.
Yeah, that's how I envision it in my mind. That there's a C earlier in the...
There is a C.
K-U-J. A-Z-Z.
Forgot your old last name.
Then we got Eric. Eric Schaefer.
Yes, sir.
That's an easy one. You know,
well, sort of. It's not like your traditional Schaefer.
No, it's
S-H-A-E-F-F-E.
Is that like the oil?
No, different from that.
The oil?
Yeah, oil, Schaefer's oil. It's the best oil known to man. Trust me, I had at the first shed.
You talking motor oil, engine motor oil?
Engine oil, gear oil.
Hey, I believe it's a Lucas Motor Oil's the best.
Yeah, true. Sorry. But
this is coming from a Lucas.
Yeah. Well, anyways. I have a sales rep that goes to the first shed.
What's his name?
I'm trying to think because it has...
We'll just lump everyone into this podcast.
Derek Blanchard.
Okay. I had a different guy from Pawpaw sell me the fuel additive before we left for South Dakota.
Yeah, Derek. But he brought over like this little... like kind of show and tell.
Is it that little thing with the crank with the gears and it shows the oil?
No, it was a motor, like a electric motor, and you had to put pressure against the motor, against like this wheel. And if it was a, let's say a Lucas Oil or a Mobil 1 or something.
No, don't
like
put
that.
Us in the same
okay,
category.
Sorry. A Mobil 1 or a Pennzoil. You would actually be able to put a ton of pressure against this rotating wheel that was attached to the electric motor, and you'd be able to stop the motor because there was too much friction, and you would put the Schaefer oil on this, and he put less pressure. I did it.
Oh, okay.
Physically, I almost broke the table. I put my whole body weight into it, couldn't stop it. There's something, I don't know, the engineering process behind it all. Very impressive.
That'd be our sponsor in the next
Schaefer
podcast.
Oil. And they make gun lubricant that is the best.
Oh, that's news to me. I'll have to buy it.
Yeah, they send it. They sell it at High Caliber off 6th Street.
I've always wanted to go in that place.
Yeah, it's like 90C Schaefer oil or like... Gun oil. I don't know if it's specifically used for guns, but I know everyone at High Caliber uses it, and it's really good. Really good. It doesn't gum up.
We get it. It's really good oil.
Does it?
Yeah. Okay.
Does it freeze, though?
No.
Nothing worse than a firing pin freezing.
So all the well drilling rigs down in Texas, how they have to like re-lubricate everything. Like they buy 55 gallon drums of gear lube and I mean, all that stuff. Almost all of them are running Schaefer's because it works so much better. And it's saving all of them like millions of dollars because of down, like they don't have to shut anything down for preventative maintenance types of deals.
And the housewives in California are using it too, right?
Yeah. Kardashians are sponsored. Which one?
No, the second one on the left there.
This one?
Down one.
This one?
Yeah.
This one just goes too long.
Oh,
it's too. So you guys are all into like these 28 gauges now?
Yep.
That's the thing is that anybody else have any other like really custom caliber rifles or shotguns in their arsenals that they
just a 410. I took a 410 over under South Dakota for dubs and had a blast shooting it. 28's been good. Got tuned up on dubs day 2 and 3. two limits, and then picked up today and knocked down a woodcock. Kai over there shot everything that moved.
The 28 gauge, it's the ticket. I'm telling you, it's a fun gun. I was actually kind of a little nervous about it because I didn't feel confident. I've never shot it. So, but it worked. Yeah. It worked. I think it was the boss shot shell ammunition.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It could just be everything put together.
Yeah.
Too.
It helped.
Put the whole package together.
How many BBs did he have in his head?
Lots. I don't know. I didn't count them. It was dead. Definitely dead. So, yeah, tomorrow should be good. I think.
What's the over and under?
Ooh.
On flushes. Because I mean,
flushes?
The kills, from, it's kind of like. Well,
from what, 8 to noon?
Yeah.
8 to noon. 15.
I was thinking 15 too. We got one more body moving, which should help.
15. I'm going over.
Well, I had a good go over too. I had a good talking to with Cricket, and she's going to point me some birds tomorrow.
One can only hope.
Whisper.
Yeah, we'll see. Did she point today?
I don't think she ever did.
Did you figure out your Garmin?
Still got to look that up.
Well.
Yep, 0 for 2. It's okay.
It's better than 0 for 15. I don't even know why that came up, by the way. The 0 for 15.
I think it was just a random.
Was it a random number?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, technically, I was 0 for 2.
She points pheasants?
Yeah, we've done. So she's taken trips to Iowa, pointed wild pheasants, done South Dakota pheasants, pheasant farm, pointed a wild woodcock last season. And we spent a number of days afield, but haven't pointed any grouse or woodcock since.
How moody is she?
Moody, like so, birdie or no?
Well, is she mad at you?
Well, she could have been by the end.
So my old GSP, my dad was kind of a comedically horrible shot a lot of times for upland hunting. And if my GSP pointed a bird and had an easy flush and he missed a shot, she wouldn't point him a bird the rest of the day.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. We could be at the pheasant farm, and we, you know how you like work the strips, right? And you go down and you go back. She would, if he missed a bird, she would point birds for me all the rest of the way down, and then none on his side. Like, she would pretend like she was working it. She would still mark them all. And then when we turned around and I was bordering that side, she would run over. She would remember where the birds were and run over and point them so I could shoot them.
Are you kidding?
I'm not joking. She was that petty.
Oh my gosh. Do you think that's a female dog attribute?
Oh.
No.
It could be any.
Or is it a right? Male?
I don't know.
Does it not matter? The only reason I bring that up is because I've heard that female dogs, and this is not against true like human being women.
Oh yeah.
But that they can be moodier especially during like their cycle or whatever. So I didn't know if that had anything to do with it. Like the male dogs are more driven.
I would think it'd be more of a GSP thing.
Okay.
Like breed specific.
German Shorthair pointers think that they're people. You know, like it's like if you get below their level, they'll like nip at you or like try and like assert dominance.
Really?
Like the most friendly German Shorthair pointer. Like they want to know where the pecking order is, and like any time that they can advance their pecking order,
they'll try.
Willing to do it. Not that they're like, I mean, it's a great breed. Not like that they're aggressive towards people or anything, but.
But they'd be like, you're an idiot.
Right.
I'm smarter than you.
I was like, you just submitted like that? You're weak.
Yeah. Let me show you what's up. Wow.
But I don't know if setters did the same thing.
Like, how old is Cricket?
Oh, a year and a half.
And how long have you had her for? Because you bought her old.
About a year. I bought her last July.
Okay. Didn't you get her later, though?
She was 7 months old when I bought her.
Yep. Okay.
So we missed a lot of the foundational obedience.
Yeah.
some of which I've been able to correct. But
was that, because didn't you get it from Eric or
from Franz? Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But he had done some stuff with her too, right? Or no?
Yeah, to a point. Like, she was housebroken, but he had four other dogs. So you know how that goes.
Right. Yeah, it's dogs are. In the grouse woods, I mean, they're so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and they're almost needed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't enjoy.
The entertainment, too.
I wouldn't enjoy as much walking through the woods by myself without a dog.
Maybe if I was like 12, you know, or 13, I would have just be like, oh, just get me out in the woods and let me go explore and whatever. But not now.
Right.
When we talked about that earlier today, like, I do feel like there's different levels of progression when it comes to hunting too. You want to shoot a bunch of birds. Great. Go out without a dog with four or five guys. You're probably going to shoot a lot of birds.
Yeah.
But if you want to enjoy your time in the woods, go get a pointing dog and watch it work.
Yeah.
I think too, though, like, I mean, she's still young. At some point, I think for a lot of dogs, it's just like, it clicks, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. She needs more context. That's all it is. Yeah.
But it just like, it clicks. Like, we're going hunting.
Yeah.
You know, like, we used to have a buddy that had a grouse dog, and like, that dog would lay like Cricket is right now, just in a pile on the floor. Like, you could step on the dog and it wouldn't move. But if you lifted any blaze orange, anything blaze orange,
which they can't technically see,
any hunting, like, blaze, anything with blaze orange on it, like a hunting hat, anything, like, you picked it up and put it on your head, and that dog would be doing cartwheels around the cabin.
No way.
Just lose its mind because it knew it was going hunting.
That's awesome.
I mean, I'm sure Roosevelt's going to be like that. Like, for a duck, like,
they're figuring out the key for him is time of day. Mm-hmm. If he's like, wait a second, dad's up, it's still dark out, and he's already dressed, we're going on.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason he's getting up this early.
Right.
So he knows just by the timing. Mm-hmm. Right. And his brother, the blue tick, he's still locked away in the bedroom type thing. You know? Like, so he's like, yep, this is go time. And he gets super, like, you cannot calm him down.
Yeah.
Just let him outside and I'll be out there in 15, 20 minutes. But yeah, that's more of it for him.
Right.
I just love seeing the drive in them, you know.
It is really cool. I wish I could have brought Hank, you know, because he enjoys it so much.
Yeah.
But it's got to take a little sabbatical.
Did we hunt both those for grouse, woodcock, Hank and Roosevelt together yet?
No.
Not for.
Nope. No, we did pheasants.
Not in the grouse woods, but we did pheasants
and ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not grouse, because the only time that we went out was.
Pretty good.
Yeah, have two flushing because they work about the same.
Yeah.
You know, they stay relatively.
Same speed.
Yeah. And they kind of work
patterns
back and forth. And you can tell when a lab gets birdie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, relatively easily. And so you just, all right, this is go time. Just get close to the dog. Get ready.
Right.
I should try Maggie on pheasants and see what she does because she loves hunting so much.
That'd be fun. Have a golden.
She's a killer squirrel dog. I'm going to try her again on ducks this year with us. Because I don't know how it's going to fly with me living at the property now and us shooting out there. She's going to want to be with us.
Yeah.
Screaming, waking the kids up. But
what's her, like, has she been trained to retrieve? Is there something in the retrieve you don't like?
No, she's great. And she actually, like, retrieves, but for some reason, she does not like the taste of duck in her mouth.
Okay, so she's picking it up, dropping it.
She'll only water retrieve.
Okay.
So you shoot a duck, it lands out in the pond. She goes hard. She grabs it. She goes hard back. As soon as she's on the bank, she looks at you like, I don't want to do this anymore. And she'll go to her place board. And she's
without
like,
the duck.
She's like, you, it's on dry land now. You can.
that's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
You could, especially where you're hunting.
Yeah.
You know, like, if her place is right next to you.
Well, I mean,
would force fetching her help? I mean, at this age?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. But does it matter? That's the thing. It's like, does it really matter? You didn't have to walk through a swamp to get that duck, and now it's on dry land.
And she could probably find the duck if it was in the cattails or something.
Oh, yeah. She hunts them up.
I mean, that's the
benefit. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm
be running that dog 100% of the time.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The hard part with her is she's like a single coated.
Yeah, golden. That's what I was just going to say.
And so she works good early season, but then she gets too cold when there starts like then that water temperature drops. And like we've had her out there, I think maybe you were with me. And I had her on that.
She's been in the water.
Right. Been out there. But I've had her on her place board that's like in the water when we're hunting the cattails.
I don't think she was out there when I hunted out there.
I think I was there, but it wasn't, it was relatively early still in the season. But yeah, she gets cold.
Yeah, like, she gets real cold.
But if you're in the water the whole time, her place is in the water, then
I have
she will bring it to you.
Yeah.
Because you're not on land.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Just step in the water.
I've taken ducks and like frozen them in the freezer to use to train and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like I have to basically force fetch her to like she wants the duck so bad, like you'll place her, you know, throw the duck. She'll hunt it up. She'll find it, and she'll just like sit there and look at it. Like, how do I pick this up?
Really?
In a way that like doesn't.
That's not going to annoy me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the feathers sticking in the mouth. Yeah. Yep.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know what you would do, but me personally, if you can have a dog that retrieves a duck in the water,
just drops it on land.
Fine by me. Obviously, it's like. Personally, it'd be better if they brought it to your hand, you know, always, but it's not needed.
And if just let her pile them up right there.
Right.
Right. Like she's got her own pile yeah, pick.
Pile pick. Selfie.
Yeah, maybe that's it. She's like, these aren't your birds.
Yeah, these are mine.
These are mine. That's my pile.
Yeah, you go get your own duck.
That's another thing my German Shorthair pointer would do.
I really wanted a GSP. I don't know if I wanted one.
She would like if she would catch a pheasant occasionally, like when you're out, like especially like the farm pheasants, you know, when that was sleeping too hard or something. She would catch one. She would not give it to you. That was not your bird.
That was hers.
Yeah.
She's like, I found it fair and square.
Yeah. She'd go hide it, put it down.
No, really?
Yeah. You walk over and try and like get it. She'd like run over and move it. And she's like, let's get back to hunting. I'm ready to hunt more birds, but you're not getting that one. That's mine.
Would she kill it?
But yeah.
Okay. Roosevelt just brings it back, like soft mouth, alive, and I throw him back up in the air. Hmm. Let somebody shoot him.
The GSPs, like, that's like, they're cold-blooded killers.
Mm-hmm.
I think to do an AKC, like, certification, like the full hunt certification, they have to kill a raccoon in, like, less than 30 seconds, I think. Like a full...
A GSP?
Yeah.
What?
They're like, that's part of the trial. They release like a boar, like full
coon.
Grown raccoon. The dog has to kill it in 30 seconds.
Jeez.
I mean, they're German. They're ruthless.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Not really.
I know.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Oh, man. What else do you want to talk about? We got lots to talk about. We could go in depth about lots of things.
I feel like I'm talking too much.
You're never talking too much.
No. Like we generally.
I can tell Corey's tired.
I've been tired since. Time do we get up? 7. Because I went to that one cup of coffee a day thing.
Yeah. Well.
I've been tired since.
Is that like forever?
Or I don't think so. I mean, just till I get back on track of like not drinking coffee from sun up till midnight.
Well, how about you drink like 2 cups tomorrow? Or is that not okay?
No, I think that's fine. But you know how you make a commitment to yourself and then part of it is like for your health and the other part is for your like to test your own
discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what the one cup is doing for me. It's testing my discipline.
Yeah, I've never seen someone like just slowly sip one cup of coffee.
There's probably still some
coffee in that cup.
There's probably still some coffee.
I do the same thing because I was drinking like two pots a day, like 12 cups, you know, in a pot, like all day, you know. It was messing with my gut and you know, sleep and everything else. And so I got to dial it back. So now I just brew like one pot, like six cups of coffee, you know, like on the pot. And like have my coffee in the morning, but then like I'll be drinking cold coffee at noon.
Yeah. And I have no problem doing that. Yeah. Like I can drink cold coffee without a problem.
Here's a story that's going to just give you nightmares tonight. The other day, my wife went to Meijer and I really like their like French roast that they have at Meijer is like really good. And I had been out for a while. And so she bought six bags of coffee. And she's like, I got your French roast. And so we have like a little container that I pour the coffee into by the coffee pot, you know? So I opened a bag, poured the coffee in there. Next morning I brew a pot and I'm like drinking. I was like, man, this tastes a little different than my French roast. But I'm like, man, I got a real bad headache around lunchtime, you know, like screaming headache.
No.
The next day I was like, same thing. Got a real bad headache. My wife's like, is this my decaf? I've been drinking decaf coffee for 2 days. And I almost died, you guys. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. I almost died last week.
That's because I went cold turkey on coffee one time, and it was like pounding headaches, sick to my stomach. I mean, it was legit withdrawals for about a day and a half. Like really? Sick.
Yeah.
Like, can't function sick.
I was thinking you were going to say, like, there was a mouse that hopped into your coffee grounds and it died.
Did I tell you about that here?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like, this is crazy. And this, so, I was up here at the cabin, which is where we're at doing this podcast right now. And I had a cup, like, I hate McDonald's coffee. But it was one of those things where, like, I was in a hurry. I had to grab breakfast. And I was like, I'm just going to go there. And I'm going to get a coffee with it because I need a coffee. So I had this cup of McDonald's coffee and I drank about half of it by the time I got here to the cabin. And I left the cup in my center console in my truck. The next morning, I go out and like I would typically not have a problem drinking that the rest of that cup of coffee the next day. Sure. I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Not me either.
So I pick the cup up to drink it because I get in the truck and I'm going somewhere. I picked a cup up and I'm like, man, it feels a little bit heavier than a half a cup of coffee. Like, I'm serious. This thing would have gone to my mouth and I would have drank it if I didn't make that like logical assessment on the weight in there. And I'm like, this just seems too heavy. So I look down in the hole. Like, you know how big that hole is on the top of that coffee cup?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a quarter inch wide and like a half inch long. I look down in there and I can see something. So I pop the lid off. There's a mouse dead in my coffee cup.
But was he there when they gave it to you from McDonald's?
I'm praying that that's not what happened. I don't know. There's no way you could say yes or no.
There's no way that it would. There's no way that McDonald's worker filled up a cup of coffee with a dead mouse in it.
You have a lot of faith in your McDonald's workers, buddy.
I told you about that up north line, right?
Yeah. No, where'd you buy it?
That's where my money is on this. So, I mean, that hole is small.
So get this. So then I had a half drink, not half drink, probably three quarter drink Busch Light sitting on the bench outside on the porch here the next morning. I go out there the next morning. I'm cleaning up stuff because I was doing like work on the cabin. I grabbed that can. Again, it was like something's in it. I look down. There's a dead mouse in the Busch Light can. In the bottom of the Busch
Light. How big are these mice?
I mean, it was like the spring, I want to say it was like May. So they were
just like,
they were like a normal sized mouse.
I mean, just like respawn in your cups.
So, no joking. This is what I did. It's cheaper. I don't know why I wasn't really pricing it out. It was a funny thing for me to do, but it's cheaper to pour out a half a can of Busch Light and use that as a mousetrap than an actual mousetrap.
Why would you ever?
So I literally poured out. I poured out like three cans of Busch Light, like about half of them, and just set them around, like in the cabin, just to see if I could catch.
Did you?
No, I didn't. No, catch any mice.
Mice are incredible.
We got to the
boat ramp this morning, and my brother pulled the cooler. We had packed two coolers, you know, like one with some beer in it and another one with like food and snacks and stuff. And he pulled out his food and snack cooler, which he hadn't zipped. It was like a soft cooler. Hadn't zipped, opened it up. All the, like, full of mouse shit.
Really?
all the granola bars had been like eaten partially.
Like how long?
What? He loaded it at 11 o'clock last night and he left at 6:30 this morning. And in that duration, mice had got in there. And like ate a significant portion of our snacks.
What the? I hate mice.
Yeah, so do I. I've got this place mouse proof now.
No, I know.
Like I've set traps. I've like sealed everything up that I could seal up. And it's just like staying on top of it. Because any place you have in the middle of the woods that you leave for, you know, sometimes a month or more at a time, they're going to be in there.
I had... packing up for this trip, I was like looking for my Upland vest, and I have like just moved to the new house, you know, and I had kind of organized all of my hunting gear and like those black totes with the yellow lids, you know, you get them at Costco or whatever.
Corey, you mean like that one right
loves
there?
Those.
Oh, yeah. Well, they make perfect sense.
They're the best. I mean,
like, they do.
But other than you can't see what's in them, and I don't label anything. But anyways, I opened one of them.
Judge it by weight.
I had them all in my...
so I do everything. I'm just a walking mice scale.
Yeah, this has six mice, not seven. Yeah. We're good.
But I had them in like open while I was packing and organizing at the old house. And then I like packed them up and moved them over to the new house. And I like opened one to see if my Upland stuff was in there. And it was like all my whitetail, like late season whitetail gear. And I was like, just that odor hit me. And I was like, whew. There's nothing dead in there. The ground. Sure enough, there's a mouse. Somehow got
and
in there.
How?
Got in there.
Is there their bone structure? Is it like flexible? I mean, it has to be. It
can't be. I mean, their head can't compress, right? So you have to be able to.
That's gonna be the limiting factor. Is there?
Yeah, but you can't. You can't tell me that a mouse's head could go through the opening of a McDonald's cup.
So what are you telling me?
That someone put it in there. There's no other.
So it was obviously no one here because I was the only one here. Oh, Lily was with me, but she would have never done that.
Lily probably did it.
No way.
Is there anything worse than like
not
taking
knowing.
A drink of something and like getting something that's other than that drink?
But it changed
like
my life.
Like when you're when you're at a barbecue and like you go to take a sip of your beer and you get like a yellow jacket in your mouth or a bunch of ants. The other day, my kids left my Yeti out on the porch, and like I went to saw it out there in the morning, and I was like working in the yard. And I was like, "Oh, my water's right here," and I sucked in. There's like three earwigs in my mouth. Like,
oh my god! Like,
oh my god! Oh, I check every time. It's 100% of the time I check because of that experience.
I've seen too many bees climb into cups or like cans, and so I just double check all the time.
So you're saying I'm dumb?
I never said that. I think you're a risk taker, and you took a risk that you didn't need to take. You should have just looked. You're naive.
Just trust the world.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you need to do that.
So how many of you guys at this table?
Are we doing
what?
Would you or?
No, we're not doing truth or dare or anything like that. But how many guys at this table have done wildlife photography?
All of us.
All of you? Except me?
Three of us, yeah.
Yep.
I don't. Well.
Yes, you have.
I used to do a lot of videography.
Yeah, that's true. But you take photos.
Was it wildlife videography? Or is it just like?
It was like hunting videos.
Okay.
I used to have a YouTube channel.
And Midwest, were you on Midwest Whitetail?
Yeah.
For a minute? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. With,
Old Jakey boy.
Jake, yeah.
I filmed for him for a while. I was never like on the show, but I filmed for a couple different shows for a little while and
had my own YouTube channel still out there. Most of the videos have gotten the sound removed from them or taken down at this point because we used to start them off with like Van Halen and AC/DC. And
love it.
So on like, what do you call it? Pirated? Unlicensed.
Yeah, unlicensed.
Yeah.
Demonetized? You can't make money off them, or you weren't to begin with?
You know, some of them got pulled down for graphic content because they got flagged too much. And, you know, we live in a liberal world that doesn't understand our lifestyle.
They don't understand conservation. They think we just go out and try to kill stuff for the fun of it, which we do, but it's also for the right reasons.
Well, it's at least it's been around since the beginning of mankind.
Right.
Right? Like, at least we've got that to go off from.
Yeah. And if you didn't kill...
hard to say that about anything.
So
when we talk about, like, you always hear about keeping culture intact, like certain cultures intact, right? And don't, like, step on their traditions or their heritage. Like, we always... I mean, we got a million heritage months, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is a deep-rooted heritage that just gets trampled on every day. It's like there is no protection.
Well, the reason everyone's here and still alive is because of that heritage.
Right.
If you couldn't eat, you wouldn't live, you know?
So no more YouTube videos. That's just get out of it.
I have a YouTube channel out there.
You do? It's, what is it?
I'm not even going to tell you because it is horrendous. It's still up there. It is bad.
What was the topic?
It's called whitetail.
Oh, I was going to say, is it like music reviews or something?
No, it's deer hunting. Freshman year of college, I started it with my buddy, Ryan Newunder, and it was called Hunt in the Glove. And
is that a Mitten reference?
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was very witty when I came up with the...
It's the Mitten.
I know, Hunt in the Glove. It's a glove bitten.
Glove. The gloves have fingers.
Well, anyways, that's why
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go watch some of these videos.
Yeah. And so I would do these like reviews and stuff. And what else was there? I would post.
Is it like product reviews?
No. I not really. It would more. It'd be like my hit list bucks. And I had a Confederate flag in the background. I would be wearing a USA shirt that had like an eagle on it. I had my hat that was like...
Well, that got taken off from YouTube a long time ago.
No.
You were pretty conflicted. I killed a couple of deer and my videos get taken down. Here you are doing like active hate speech.
It is still up. It's
still up there.
They probably feel bad for me. It's like, this kid has got some issues and we need to help
him. This is all he's got going
for. If he ever runs for office, we're burning him down.
Yeah, that's why they keep that stuff online just in case a person runs.
Yeah, you better go look at Hunt the Glove. Yeah, no, it's really bad. Really bad. Like the amount of the lack of emotion that I have in these videos, like I'm just straight face. They're so embarrassing to watch. It truly hurts. Truly hurts. There is one video that I have where I self-filmed myself shooting a doe, and that doe that I shot was maybe 60 pounds. But we ate it that night.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Fawns are tasty.
Practically, yeah. There was five of us, I think. But what do you need? Sound like Michelle. No, it's mine. Is it in the truck? Oh. Are you looking up Hunt in the Glove? Oh, no. Why did I bring... How did that even get brought up?
I used to like, I really liked filming for a long time, but then, I mean, like our channel had like 4 million views, 3-4 million views,
whoa,
which that was like,
that's why I got taken down.
That was like 10 years ago. So, I mean, that was like pretty good for 10 years ago.
That's 50 million today.
Now it's like,
I think
like
I was
with inflation.
I think I was trying to follow in your footsteps because back then I didn't really know you.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I knew I would watch Midwest Whitetails every night and watch them all, and then realize that Jake and you were like filming. And then, so I wanted to try to do my own thing, and it was absolutely horrendous. Yeah. Horrendous.
So crazy.
But it's still up there, and I haven't deleted it, and
it's going to come back to haunt you.
It's so wild.
Yeah, how we, I mean, own it. How we right? That's what you got to do. Yeah.
In such proximity.
That's okay. It was a learning experience.
No, but like, I mean, I shot bows at your wife's house.
Right.
For years.
I know.
For years.
Yeah.
Like Wednesday night bow league.
Yeah.
Well, it's technically the neighbors, right? But
yeah.
But like.
It's years. Such a small world.
It's crazy.
Such a small world. Yeah. And how do you. Yeah. It's just wild. I really hope you don't have service, Corey.
Oh, I got loads of service. But I mean, if you type in hunting the glove on YouTube, there's going to be like all you're going to find is hunting glove reviews. You know, like what hunting gloves are the best?
Doesn't it?
No, no, say, no,
did
no.
Did you mean mitten?
Yeah. Yeah. Suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah. Autocorrect.
No, I think it's hunting. Like
hunting.
Hunting.
Like no G. Oh. Keeping it real.
Yeah. I thought I was the world's largest redneck back in the day. I didn't know what I wanted in life.
Yeah. Here it is.
Yeah. I was a prep.
Hunt the glove preview.
Yeah. I thought I was like preppy. I thought I was a kind of like ghetto.
Did you have a whole channel?
I think so. I don't know. This was 10 years ago. Like YouTube.
Yeah, this is 11 years ago. I mean, hey, you got some, there's a title screen that came on.
Yeah, I made it on like DOS or whatever.
MS Paint.
Yeah, MS Paint. I think it might have been. I don't know.
I'm surprised this didn't get taken.
I got like a big old dip in. Like purposefully.
Oh, you got a thumbs up here.
The thing that I didn't like about filming is like it as like production quality improves.
Yeah.
Like it takes so much effort for every hunt to like you get your walking in B-roll, you get like all these shots of like, you know, climbing in the tree stand because it has to be like that day, you know, like the hat you're wearing and everything else right. Like that has to be like that day. So like you have to like get all of these sequence shots. Unless you're one of the, you know, production companies that like shoots everything after, you know, like goes out and like dress the same tomorrow and we're going to like go do it again. But so like you put in like if you're really trying to like document a hunt, it's like a lot of work and you have to have somebody there with you. It's like really hard to get like quality footage filming yourself. And so then like hunting becomes like this work experience. And
it's
like
a job.
Steals so yeah. much of the joy from.
Yeah. Why you did it.
Why you did yeah. it. Which is why I really enjoy like photography more. Cause like you can just like take your camera and like today I'm gonna like it's a slow day and I'm gonna grab a bunch of shots of like my buds and like, you know,
right.
have some fun or like
it does. It's not so intrusive in a hunt yeah. the experience, you know. It's
like, oh, yeah. say that again, but looking at me. You know, that was really camera. Cool. You
yeah,
know,
it's like no.
Stage it.
What were you saying, Eric?
I was just going to say, you can do both. Like, that's why I value it. And that's why I got the camera in the first place, because it gave me something to do in addition to the hunt to capture the moments and the memories.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you doing it too. You know, it's like it's fun to look back on. And we've talked about this before. You know, I've kind of stepped away from it a little bit just for more personal reasons because of. My personal reason of shooting photos was for personal like accolades pretty or like
yeah, affirmation,
yeah, affirmation yeah. and
validation,
recognition. Yeah. So once that's gone, I just needed to step back for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it. Like it's really cool to see and like print the photos off that you did take. With the people that you were hanging around or the dogs you were around, it's really cool.
then when you see it come full circle, I think for me, the most eye-opening experience, unfortunately, was when my buddy Matt, his dog passed away suddenly at the age of 7.
Yeah.
And I spent the last 2 to 3 full years hunting with Matt and Scoop. And we have all these incredible images of this dog who's now gone, but those images mean so much.
That's a memory that's lasting forever now.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is huge.
Canvases, big prints on his wall, and he can look at those and be happy, right, even though the situation isn't the greatest.
You're right. He's got a new dog now, though, right?
Juice.
Juice. That's right. Juice. I like that.
Juice bag, juice box.
That's the good thing about image versus like a video, you know, is they instantly transport you back to like that moment. And then, right, and then you're like reliving that experience as you had as a memory, you know, like, and that's individual for everyone. So we could take a really great shot of us tomorrow holding up limited grouse, right?
You got that right. 20 of them.
Yeah, sir.
Woo-wee. And, you know, like, or no grouse, just on a, you know, a nice shot.
You don't have to, like, be looking at me when you say, or no grouse.
Oh, for 15.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but Corey's, you know, the guide. So
everybody looks at that.
Tip or no tip?
Yeah. Per bird tip, I think.
No kill, no pay, Corey. No kill, no pay.
Yeah. Yeah, I owe you a lot today. I do. I did pick that. That is kind of fun. That, and I don't think Adam knows, but so Corey gave me the pin of his cabin before, and I've never been here. And so I just wanted to do some like Onyx internet scouting of the area to just pick out a couple pins just randomly, or really kind of research and to see how close I would be to his personal pins that he's actually found grouse.
Yeah, you
and hunted.
I would say it was the opposite of random. Like you took,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
took layers and you made a decision on where you thought these would be good grouse hunting spots.
Yeah.
Based on Onyx resources.
Yes. And so we get up here and I was like, I had forgotten. And so I pull up Onyx. It's like, hey, Corey, I got this one pin that I set. I want to see how close, like, do you have this one on yours? For something you've maybe hunted.
You were like, this is how it went down. I said, oh, there's one more spot that I always flush grouse at. Like every time I've gone there, I flush grouse at it. And I'm like, it's up this way. You know, and we start driving back towards there. And then you said, oh, I've got a spot too that I put a pin on. Yeah. You have no reference of where
Zero.
We're at.
Like
you
I've don't never know, been here.
You don't know where we're at. You don't know what reference we are to the point.
I'm 30%, remember?
So I look at the pin and I was like, that's where we're going. That's the spot. I mean, you're talking like 50,000 acres of land to hunt up here.
It's literally like 30 yards apart.
Where 30, the pins were 30 yards apart.
That's awesome.
Just his.
Yeah. So.
So Onyx works.
And yeah, right? Definitely.
I love Onyx.
Yeah. And I also think it's like the research that you do with like, am I hunt?
Yeah.
You know, and understanding the ground cover and the year that it was logged. Yeah. And I mean, all
that's a
that.
Huge resource. Is no just the timber inventories, you know, where you go and look at the age structure.
And then you overlay them. You know, you got to do a little bit of work, but obviously, I mean, we haven't shot a grouse there yet, but you
no,
have
it would be
past.
A good bet, though.
Yeah.
It would be a good bet to go there. Mm-hmm. And it's been ground truthed, right?
Ground truthed.
That's what we call it in the aerial imagery.
Ground truthed.
Yeah.
You've moved birds there in real life. Is what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's trying to, you know, make that aerial image, that analysis you did come true.
Right. Hmm. Right. So over and under is 15.
Yep. Yep.
What do you think, Eric?
In terms of birds moved, we're talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think over. I really think having the fourth guy will make a big difference.
So you're over two?
Over as well. That's three overs.
Adam. Over. Over. He's taking a main of the...
All right, well, this isn't going to be any fun if we're all in the same boat.
Drain in the main vein. Well, okay, maybe let's say 20.
Under.
Oh. Wow.
I would have said under if you said 18.
I'm saying under 20.
Have you guys had any hunts where you moved over 20 birds?
No, no. Not me personally, no.
Yeah, my best is 18.
So Adam's saying over 20.
But today was pretty optimistic. We hunted for 4.5 hours and we moved 15.
We hunted really 8:30 to 11:30, 3 hours. And we come back. Oh, 8:30 to 12, so 3.5 hours and then 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I guess we moved 14 birds, right? 12 this morning and 2.
That's why I need that little counter. A
clicker.
A little clicker.
Or just rewind the podcast. Whatever we said at the beginning of the podcast, it probably was the right the right number.
Yeah. Yeah, it was close. So you're really thinking over 20.
Why not?
Dream big, man. Dream big.
Yeah, I don't see.
It's just time and effort.
I like how you're very optimistic. I mean, always bet the over.
I mean,
it's up to you.
Haven't you ever got into a covey, a woodcock?
No.
You flushed 10 12, at once.
Flush 12 right here on 6 acres in one.
I mean, it could change walk. Like that.
In a second.
In a second. He's got to hit a covey.
Adam's just like.
He's too.
Yeah, he's just.
He's too confident with the.
No, he's not wrong. You know, we had.
Yeah, we
earlier
could.
Today, we had a big streak of zeros at that first or second property. And then all of a sudden we moved 3. All that had to happen was 7 times and there's our 21 birds.
We flushed one right at that, when we got out of that truck.
Oh, that too. Yeah, in a very weird spot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't any weirder than back here.
No, I knew, this, honestly, was let's take this one serious. I knew this push could produce.
Yeah. That's a wall hanger.
But
I wasn't this is just a waste of our time.
Yeah. No, I'm glad we did it for sure.
And that was fun. And do it again tomorrow.
Let's you're not an eternal optimist, are you really even a hunter?
Valid question.
Yeah, that's good.
So over under on 50.
There's a different point, right? Optimism and crazy.
Fine line.
Yeah, there is a fine line. Okay, let's do this then. Because after tomorrow, morning's hunt, we're going to go trout fish.
Surf and turfing.
And what are we going after? Brookies and browns, right?
Yeah.
Brookies and browns. Over 3 brook trout.
Total. Between all of us or per person?
All of us.
Under
for sure.
Under 3?
For brook trout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I've been told the North Branch is brookie heaven.
We'll find out.
Okay. Have you fished?
I don't know. No.
I think with your worm dunking, we'll catch it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What about browns?
We're picking up some steam.
Yeah.
The worm dunking.
What about browns?
What's your over under?
Over 3 for sure.
Yeah. That's, over.
Over 3?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, is there a size limit? We usually say 12 inches or 10 inches. Or
I don't know.
If you're fishing these small streams,
I think 8 is keeper on the small streams.
Say over 10, 3 over 10.
Because, I mean, you can catch a whole a whole pile of 7, 8 inches. You could go to any bridge anywhere around here and throw a worm and catch 7 inches all day.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of
3 fish over 12 brown, 3 browns over 12 inches.
That's
under
easily doable.
I'm going to go under.
How much time do we have
to fish?
Yeah.
We have all day. Adam's got to leave, right?
Three. Yeah. We got a couple hours.
The other question is, am I going to handicap myself like these guys with a fly rod?
Once I'm catching them,
I got all my worm stuff with me too. I'll chuck some worms with a fly rod. I'm
over
not above
3.
That.
Over 3. Let's go.
is that the move? Worming?
I'm worming,
what do you call
man.
It? Dunking
worming? Worms, drowning worms.
You want to catch fish, or you want to like recreate a romance novel?
I want to catch fish because I'm not very good at it. It's relaxing to me because, again, like we said, I have to stay on it and consistent, and it's just, you know, cast after cast. But I'm not a very good fisherman by any means.
It's like that Ron Swanson quote. Fishing relaxing me. It's like yoga, but I get to kill something.
Yeah. So, I mean, I might. Can you worm dunk with you could do it with a 5-weight fly rod, right?
You can worm dunk with a stick.
The nice thing with worm dunking is you're also going to get some non-targets, potentially some non-targets.
Just with a worm.
Yeah. You could pick up.
That would be Michelle's
fishing.
Pick up
suckers or whatever. You're...
Michelle. So she's just like, give me that fishing pole and let me do it. Just put 4 worms on this hook. I'm like, okay, 4 worms. This happened at what's the lake just north of Ludington? Hamlin Lake. Yeah. It's like, she's like, put 4 worms on this hook.
Like, so on the same hook?
Same hook. Just like, I mean, a ball of worm. Okay. It was like your
like a bunch of breeding worms.
Your cart bait.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And she literally just dropped this thing straight down to the bottom of Lake Hamlin. We were parked, like just anchored, reeled it up a little bit, and caught like a 4.5-pound largemouth just out of the blue. It's like, okay, I'm never not going to allow you to do what you want to do when it comes to fishing, because you definitely know what you're doing. I didn't catch anything.
I just want to catch fish. That's what I'm there. Like, it's relaxing. I get the same, like, I get relaxation out of it, and I get to catch fish.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time. The last time I caught a brook trout was in Canada, but it was huge.
You know?
Huge.
Yeah. I would say, there's 8 to 10 inches you're going to be pretty happy with here.
Yeah, you get, like, a 12 or a 14. That's, like, right home.
Really?
That's your fish of the trip.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I kind of...
Write home about it.
He's not wrong.
Put it.
No,
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new video about hunting the glove.
Fishing the glove.
Fishing the glove.
About it. Dear Mama and Dixie.
I'm doing it.
It'd just be a Trump flag in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just unbelievable. Michelle still brings it up once in a while. She's like, do you remember how, like, you were special? Like, I still am, but you're still with me. What were you saying, though, about fishing?
You know, so, like, everybody goes, like, back and forth about fly fishing. You know, like, there's, like, the divide fly fishing, bait fishermen, and I think it's pretty silly in Michigan, right? Like, I was just salmon fishing in, like, one of the best flies-only sections in the country on the Pierre Marquette River, right? But the way you fish for salmon, the way everybody fishes for salmon is a chuck and duck, which is, like, the farthest thing removed from fly fishing, really.
Yeah, period.
Like, it's
your bottom-bouncing flies.
Your bottom-bouncing flies, but, like, it's not, like, a dry fly presentation for, like, a... you know, cutthroat or, you know, some, you know, sight fishing with a, you know, fly or matching a hat or anything like that's typically fly fishing. So when people are like, oh, I'm a fly fisherman, but I'm just going to chuck and duck all the time for steelhead and for salmon, that's why I'm a fly fisherman. But then they're too high and mighty to drown a couple of worms in a spring creek and bring home some brown trout to throw on the griddle.
I'm all about it.
I don't judge either way, but I'm just saying.
I've never done it, and I'd love to learn how to do it, because I've talked to you a million times, Adam, about like how setting up different rigs for fly fishing, especially for steelhead or kings, because I never grew up doing it, you know, so I'm just trying to learn.
Right.
And so I'd love to learn how to dunk some worms tomorrow.
Oh,
that sounds so redneck.
Well, that's why it's going to go on Hunt the Glove.
Just fire that channel back up.
Yeah, just a million.
11 year sabbatical from hunting the globe.
You throw that Confederate flag in the back and the American flag tank top on, you're probably going to get like millions of views right now.
Yeah, it's like, do you know who is this guy? He's been doing this for
Did you use your name on there?
I don't know. Okay. I really don't know. It was so bad.
Probably get like Ben Shapiro or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Guest
host. Get a call up with got Kai Carlson from Hunting the Glove YouTube channel.
Today
250 million subscribers.
Today we're reviewing Nightcrawlers.
Oh. That's what you need.
This is digressing quickly.
Yeah. I'm getting tired.
As we knew it would.
Yeah. But we just wanted to put this thing together real quick and see if I think it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I had fun. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. You know, let the dogs run, dunk some worms.
Yeah, we're a few weeks from our like 1 year of doing the podcast.
Yeah.
We got one more month. So 3-4 weeks till we hit our 1 year.
Yep.
Time flies, man.
Flew by. I don't even know.
I feel like it's still like 2019.
I know.
To be honest.
Yeah, pre-COVID.
Kind of wish. No, I'm fine.
Right, I'm fine too. Yeah.
It's all good.
You just got to adapt. Dunkin' Worms.
You know, Kai, every time I look at you, I just think limber, adaptable.
All right, I got to go to bed.
Okay. Yeah, me too. What time is it? Okay,
thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
See ya.
Toodaloo. See ya. And we're going to be dunking some worms tomorrow afternoon, and I can't wait.
After we shoot 21 birds.
No, 20.
No, we got over. What do you mean? We're not
killing 21 birds. It's flushes.
You got fancy new gun. I thought you had that fancy new gun.
It's not.
You got like those 28 gauges that have the heat seeking.
It's not an A10 Warthog.
You got the heat seeking Boss shot shells. I thought you had those heat seeking Boss prototype shells. Yeah. Fancy new 28 gauge. It gives you a kiss after you pull the trigger. And
I'll just let you all just sleep in. Give me your licenses. I don't even need a dog. I'll just take one shot. We're good to go. And then I'll just upload that other Hunt in the Glove video. We're good to go. All right. Good night, everyone.